Hillsborough Borough Council Meeting, December 6, 2021. You're now being recorded. If anyone here would like to speak tonight, there's a registered right by the podium. Please register.
Okay, it is now 6:02. I want to thank those of you who are here this evening. Our mayor is not present this evening, so therefore we'll move into our meeting at 6:02. I ask that we all rise as always for the pledge of allegiance. And Judy, since this is not a virtual meeting, you can put the roll, call just in the state that they're here, but not here.
Do we have any follow-up on you?
No, because like we normally do, we've gotten that happy because of virtual meetings. Okay, at this time, is there anything from public comment? Thank you very much. Kathy, you asked to speak, so please.
Talk into your microphone, one of them, please.
Okay, sorry about that. Kathy, you can please go up to the podium. I'm just repeating that for her, so it's going under recording. Stopped again?
Yeah, let's try it again. Okay, here we go. Okay.
Testing, 1, 2.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Kathy. Sorry.
I live on East Street, the ravine side. I counted the houses on the other side of the street, and 1/3 of the houses are in the 1700 block. But I counted the ones who face the numbered streets because they take equal space on the stretch of East Street. And dead center on the 1700 block is my former wonderful friend who was deceased since 2015, I think. And it's a cottage house, belonged to Madelon Klinkowitz, and it was beautifully, beautifully manicured with tulips, daffodils, peonies, a garden in the back. And it's been abandoned, and it's an eyesore, and it's a pair of teachers live on one side, and a friend from my writers group used to live on the other side, but it's newly sold. But I'm certain there could be some means to get the house back to square one so it looks like a regular house on the street. 1724 it is.
Okay, well, direct our zoning officer to look into it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite.
We'll direct our zoning officer to look into it.
Thanks. And a couple of houses are beautifully decorated for Christmas on East Street. So if you have any holiday recognition for the worker bees that have all the decorations out, I'm sure they would appreciate the recognition. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Thank you. At this time, does anybody else wish to speak this evening? Okay, if not, we will move into the first item on our agenda is the minutes of the previous meeting of November 15th. As always, the council has received those minutes as of last Friday. At this time, if somebody has any questions or comments on any of the minutes, please bring them up now. If you are satisfied with them, then please make a motion to accept them as presented.
I move to approve the minutes as presented from November 15th, 2021.
Okay, motion is made by Jim Jennings. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Robert Jennings. Any question or discussion further from the council members on any of those minutes? If not, all those in favor of accepting them as presented, please say yes.
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 All opposed, please say no. The motion is passed unanimously. Thank you. At this time, Judy, according to our agenda, there's no request for use of borough properties. That's still correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll move on to our solicitor. Anything that you wish to report this evening?
We've worked on several different projects, including proposals to amend certain provisions, either under the zoning ordinance or the sign provisions. I have no specific update in regard to the Castle Street matter, although I understood and reported 2 weeks ago that an agreement of sale was close at hand in that matter. The LetGov Tracy Street matter is still hanging fire because there is one individual that apparently is deceased but died in Africa, from what I'm told. The small committee in regard to Irving Cliff Access has been fairly active. That would include Councilman Jennings, Jim Jennings, Mr. Brown, Ms. Boltonis, and also Councilman-elect James Hamill. And I think that we've been making progress in that regard. At this time, that's all I have to report. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Attorney Henry. Again, Mrs. Canfield is not here this evening as our mayor for report. So we'll move on. Next item, just to be in your agenda to note, is that we have the annual report from the Greater Helmsville Partnership for your perusal. Do any council members have any question on that report at this time? Lisa is here this evening if you wish to ask anything. Okay, if not, we'll move on. The Finance Committee this evening, Jared is not available, so Mr. McAllister is the vice chair, so I'll let him go from there.
On the Finance Committee report, we're doing some, attempting to do some reallocations of the budget for 2021. I move to make the following changes to the 2021 budget: from account 405-46, training, $500, to account 405-20, general expenses; from account 405-46, training, $1,000, to account 405-72, capital purchases; from account 410.70, capital purchases vehicle, $10,483.63, to account 410.20, supplies. That's the motion to be made.
Yeah, a motion is made. Mr. McAllister, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Jason Newbon. Any question from any council members on these transfers or changes to the budget? Then all those in favor of these changes, please say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, please say no. That motion is passed unanimously.
In addition to the budget reallocation, I have a disposition of records. I move that the Borough Council authorize the shredding of records, 32 archive boxes that contain personal identifiers and or bank account information, and have been selected for disposal as per the most recent resolution for the disposition of records, and accept the on-site quote from Shredded in the amount of $542 for the disposal.
Okay, again, motion was made by Mr. McAllister, a second was made by Robert Jennings. Any question or discussion on this motion? If not, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, please say no. Motion is passed unanimously.
That's a information for the Finance Committee.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Callister, for filling in. Appreciate it. I'm going to move down to Mr. Jim Jennings, and this is the Grants Committee.
From the different grant funds. Currently, the balance of the Honesdale Borough Housing Assistant Relief is $16,763.76. Again, if you or someone that you know within the borough is in need of rental or mortgage assistance, please have them contact the office or visit honesdaleborough.com. There's a lot of information on there on how they can get assistance. We've had a couple applications come in and have been approved. So there's plenty of money still available for those in need, so please reach out for more information. And Judy, if I may, if we could do some social media posts on that in the coming weeks, if possible.
Sure. We also put it out
to the county assistance programs.
Yep.
There's a variety of them, and they do have it there and will help people. They will actually assist people doing the application.
Okay.
Do you want a press release, too?
We can work on one, yeah. Especially around the holidays, it'd be good. Okay. The available funds for the Reverend Doherty Fuel Fund, and this is kind of a dovetail to the housing assistance relief. This has been in action for a while. If anybody needs help with their paying their utility bills, please let us know as well. There's information on the website or available at the borough office. 2019 dividend total amount, $12,602.40. The 2020 dividend total amount, $13,168.80. 2021 dividend total amount, $14,584.80. The total is $40,356 even. Total paid out in early 2021 is $4,800, and the balance is $35,556. So I believe that's it from the Grants Committee at this point. If anybody has any questions or comments, please let me know. But other than that, we're working on a few, trying to tie up a few stormwater grants in the coming days here, especially around the busy holidays, as it pertains to Blake's Creek. That's the grants report.
All right, thank you, Mr. Jennings. Thank you. Under the Insurance Committee report this evening, and Jared is not here. Bob, do you have anything?
I have nothing.
Judy, do you have anything to report on that?
The only thing is that the insurance broker, agent, whatever you want to call it, Brown & Brown, they should be contacting the borough very soon. I thought it was going to be with already last week at the date for everyone to sign the renewals because they have your policies, but they did not contact us yet. Any comments that I did receive to them, I forwarded to Jared as the chairman. So they do have people interested in our packages.
Jared.
Is there anything, Judy, on the one that they camp with us? You can make any arrangements on that?
Brown & Brown has two people, but I don't know who they are. That's
because
who I was hoping.
You have to have something before the first of the year.
By January 2nd, yes. So
I haven't heard anything from them.
I keep asking them once a week, and because they usually set up a meeting with the insurance committee. And then they present the renewals right then for the council president to sign. And then we get billed in January. It's usually in December. But our concern was the workers' comp, because we're switching companies. So we don't know which company they're suggesting for us yet, because we don't have a name.
Okay, so obviously going to keep after it until we get a straight answer.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then hopefully Jared will be back and schedule a meeting.
Okay. Very good. Okay, I'm going to move back to Mr. Jim Jennings again for Parks and Recreation Report.
Sure. It's a busy couple of weeks from the parks. Just a reminder to the public, we have a Parks and Recreation Commission meeting this Wednesday here at Borough Hall at 5:30 is when it starts.
5:30, the doors open.
6 o'clock. I always get that wrong, but we'll be here at 5:30 to open the doors and let the public in.
Will you be here at 5:30 then? Yep.
Sure. So 5:30 for the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting. Last meeting, I read a letter from James Hamill from the resignation of his commission post as the chair there. So I think it's appropriate to make the motion again.
Yes.
Okay. So I move that Borough Council accept with regret the resignation of James Hamill from the Parks and Recreation Commission effective December 9th, 2021.
Okay, motion is made by Jim Jennings and seconded by Robert Jennings. This is just a formality, but any question on this motion? And all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, please say no. The motion has passed to accept with regret. Thank you.
And so with that in mind, if anybody's interested or if you know someone is interested, there's an opening on the Parks and Recreation Commission. It's an active and engaged group of people who are looking to help modernize and make the parks an even better place. So if you're interested in that or know somebody who might be, please just keep an eye out. We'll have a posting for the open spot. Now, with regards to the survey from Apple or Veterans Park, I'm sorry, it looks like I only have one here, Judy. Is that correct?
That is the same thing that happened last time when we were asking for surveys. I've actually contacted three different surveyors. Only one replied this time, again.
So do we want to wait on that, or?
I don't know. You were the one asking for the survey. I don't know what it was for.
Yeah, we didn't. I think we had the boundaries placed on the tags. We didn't get a document from that last quote in terms of like being able to provide a map to near neighbors or landowners.
It was only one boundary line that we paid for last, and the northern boundary line.
Right, right. So
this is for a survey of the boundaries only, not the. There's two different types of surveys. There's a complete survey that puts in every tree and rock and hill and everything that's on the thing, or just the boundary survey, which is what you asked for.
Right.
So that is what when I spoke to all three of them, I said it's just the boundary one, not with all the features on it. So it'd be much cheaper, as you can see. It would be a lot more if you were doing a full-fledged survey.
Yeah, it looks like it's $4,800, right? Because he replied to it in an email. We didn't get like a formal quote. Okay, so
you can wait and have and just talk with the new council and see what they want to do. I don't know what the survey was actually for.
I mean, for the rest of us, can you explain exactly? I mean, this $500,000, but what exactly are you hoping to accomplish?
So what we want to do is get an official survey with a map of the property that includes Veteran Park and Apple Grove in order to be able to know what land is ours. Post which land is ours, and potentially engage with adjacent landowners in order to potentially expand the park or officially, you know, come to some agreement about using lands near the park or not. So the idea was that we would officially know what's ours. There would be no guesswork involved, and that we'd be able to post that and mark the boundaries to let both us as a council know, but also the public know where the land is there. So with the main option potentially having discussion with the nearby property owners about using or coming to some sort of agreement about using the land to expand Apple Grove, potentially. Now, that's a, you know, down the line type thing, but that's the reason for the survey. But we can. I'm going to table this at this point. I think it could be a good talking point for the commission on Wednesday to see what their thoughts are, and we'll just kind of go from there.
May I ask a question, Attorney Henry?
Go ahead,
Attorney Henry. Do we have any current surveys on that area that were done in recent past?
Oh, I know that there is a survey. I think that Ms. Poltonis and I have looked at that map. It's a relatively older one. But are you familiar with it at all, Mr. Jennings?
We looked at it before. And we wanted to be able to make sure that, you know, obviously it was accurate and that we could potentially provide that information to the northern boundary landowner.
Well, my suggestion would be before you have somebody go back up and effectively or potentially retrace some lines, we should take a look at the map. Now, I don't think that. My recollection was that whoever did the work didn't survey the entire borough property up there, but did designate the boundary line between the most adjacent northern property owner and the Honesdale borough. And it kind of follows the stream, if I'm not mistaken. But are you familiar with it, Ms. Poltonis? The map?
Well, I know there was a collection of deeds and maps that were associated with the deeds that the person who did not reply this time used, and then from that survey firm actually was the one that we ended up hiring. The first firm that replied never did the survey, and we had to ask again, and it was the second firm that actually did the northern boundary, but they did not reply this time.
How long ago was that? Do you know when they actually did that survey?
It was a couple of years ago at this point.
Two or three years ago.
So it's relatively
They didn't provide documentation Am I correct in that?
The order was for them to establish the, they put, well, Dan would know, they put the markers in, and then they were to install the boundary signs, which they did. The signs were up for a while. I don't know if people moved them.
Yeah, they didn't move them. They just relocated them to a spot that I have yet to find.
Who's they?
Citizens.
Tennis Bills one. Just wandered around and just took them.
Yeah.
Nice. So the pins were all like, yeah.
But the trees are still roped inside the hedgerow or the bush row. They're still pink striker marked off. It's just out in the open grass area where the stakes were there no longer with us.
I mean, the question becomes, is it worth, we already have a recent relatively survey, what more do you need? I mean, you're talking about a few feet or by, I mean, what is the goal of spending the money if the survey was less than 3 years ago?
Oh, okay.
And they have all the information there. Why redo it?
Well, we don't have the information.
No, it wasn't. He wasn't the person who was awarded it for that extreme small amount of money was not asked to make a map and put their seal on it. They were asked to establish the northern boundary, put the signs up and the pins and the markers, those little peak things, and that's what they did. They did what was asked in the work order. That's all that was asked, and it was done for less than $1,000.
Okay, so my question still is, do we need to do it again to be more precise? Or would it change our boundaries, or change what we already know?
I don't know what the purpose of the whole survey was. Was it? I thought we were doing a park plan or something. I didn't know what you needed it for.
Well, if I just can throw in my 2 cents, my recollection was we were concerned that we were trespassing.
And we actually, when he did the northern boundary, boundary came back significantly because
right.
We were on someone else's property.
But we don't have that as a document, is the issue.
There is a map, so my suggestion would be, when does Parks and Rec meet again next?
This Wednesday.
Well, the commission meets this Wednesday, but the committee can have
but
a special meeting if we want.
I think we could probably find a map or maps for you so you can review it Wednesday night. Are you familiar with one?
No. The person did last and said he had to go and do all the research at the courthouse and look through all the deeds.
Let me see what I can find.
Right. It's not a pressing thing. It's something that it was an oversight on my part when we did the first one that we didn't get a map on, the northern boundary so that we had that documentation so that we knew we could point to it and we could say to the landowner, we marked it, everything should be good.
It wasn't your oversight. And the odd thing about it is, even if you have somebody, and we did have somebody, designate the boundary line. But it's lowlands, it's wet, it's probably hard to identify.
And someone still went in and moved over.
Yeah, but that didn't help either.
No.
I'll see what I can find for you.
Okay, yeah, and again, it's nothing pressing. I do appreciate everyone's help on it. But, I don't want to necessarily expend the money either.
I understand.
So, anyways. And then, as Solicitor Henry mentioned before, we've been in talks with the committee and a couple key stakeholders about the land in and around the Irving Cliff access from Watts Hill Road. It's privately owned, so it's currently closed off, and so we're talking with both the landowner there at the traditional entrance and another landowner nearby about a historical potential entrance that we're looking at. So. Conversations are ongoing with the Parks Commission, and Mr. Hamill was involved in order to get that rectified in a safe and an effective and, a fun way so that people can exit and enter safely, and so everyone is on the same page. So right now, the best recommendation is to obviously you can stay on the path in the borough park, come up from Gibbons Park, you can go down in and around the path, and then double back and work your way back up to the top of the cliff. So the entrance at the bottom is closed until further notice as we work with the landowners in and around that area to come up with a special arrangement. So other than that, we met Dan and I and again, head of the parks, Mr. Hamill, met with Paul Kowalczyk on site at Apple Grove to do, an overall kind of survey and map of a management plan for trees, both mature and new trees, and in and around the parks as it pertains to Apple Grove. So the potential kind of replanting and rehabilitation of apple tree grove there, what that might look like, what trees should go in the park, what should not, what memorial gardens, what memorial trees could look like and where they should go, and just having an overall maintenance and management plan for the trees, both, you know, in kind of trail settings and also in town, so that everyone's safe, that they're healthy, and that we know what trees to plant and when and kind of where. So look for that hopefully next year as we talk with Mr. Kowalczyk and Dan a little more and get a better understanding of what that looks like in the future. And I think that's it.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much. You know, all the work that you do on this. I know you do a lot of committees here. You're the hardest working member just about on most committees. So we'll move on from there. Parking Committee, Jason Newbon, anything to report this evening?
Quiet on parking.
Okay, thank you very much. Public Safety Committee, which is Bob Jennings. What do you
have
tonight?
Several items here. The first one, the Chief of Police had received from Ray Pequetti, a part-time policeman. He sent this notice to the Chief. At this time, I'm resigning from the Homedale Police Department. I want to thank you for all you have done to help me personally and professionally.
There's been a motion made to accept the resignation of Raymond Paquette. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Jason Newbon.
Okay.
Hold on. All those in favor, please say yes.
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 All opposed, please say no. Okay, the motion is passing unanimously. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. I have further concern. Now, he's the last person that we had that was available for part-time. Now we're down to three officers and the Chief. Give you an example, last Thursday, there was an alarm that came in from the comm center announcing that there was a holdup at the Cherry Lane jewelry store. Good for us, Chief Southerton was on patrol himself, just happened to be right practically at the store. So he was there within minutes or seconds, but it turned out that it was a false alarm, thank goodness. But that shows how effective it is for us to have. But now, we have no extra help. My concern right now, with the holidays coming on, many of our stores are going to be open later at night. We only have three officers and the Chief. It's not enough people to cover 24 hours, two shifts in the daytime. The third one's been closed for almost 3 years. But I'm concerned now with the stores with people coming in and the other stores being open later at night. There's going to be days that there'll be no police on at all. And this is something that's very serious. And somehow we're going to have to take a concern what we can do. I don't know what to say. I mean, the state police are understaffed. We had that meeting with them. You'll be glad to come, but, you know, they have 200 cars, and there's a couple of them said we could be down south, we could be up north, we could be any place. And there's a danger to me, I think, for us being open at night. Our store will be open for about 2 weeks at night, late, and we have other stores that's going to be open. Anybody can make any suggestions, what can we do to get more help for the police department or for protection? It's a serious matter that we're facing for this holiday season. I don't know what the contract is in the union, but if you ask them to work, do they get time and a half? I have no idea. I mean, how is that? If they will work, are they entitled to more money, and how much would they get? I'd like to know that tonight, that if it comes to that, that I know what to tell the Chief or advice. But anybody that has any suggestions, please tell me.
We've been working on this for about 6 years now.
Yeah, I know I called you and you told me to get in touch with the Chief, but on this other episode. But there again, that could have been very serious if it was an active holdup, because usually they don't put alone, it's a couple, one guy alone.